This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And to say today is a good morning would be an understatement. Today is a great morning, a beautiful day. Now, it's supposed to rain all day today and all day tomorrow, but it almost doesn't matter for what we saw last night. We have so much to do today. I don't even know how I participate in the morning roast at 6:45. I'll find a way, but I say good morning to my partner in crime, the great Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Not a good morning, Dave. It's a great morning, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I was dialed into that Rangers game. Dialed in. I mean, that's a must-win game, and good for them. They found a way to win that game. I didn't watch the rest of the Mets game till this morning when I woke up.
Really? So you you had no idea?
I had no idea because, again, I'm sitting there looking at the group text message chain, and we're talking about the Rangers, and you're like, this is too close. It should be like, I wish it was like the Mets. So you gave up on the Mets. Done with the Mets.
You know what? Here's the thing, because I'm just telling you this right now.
Disgust me.
If you do this, I'm going to roast you at 6:45.
Well, you got to roast somebody. You can't go another roast without a roast.
To go after me for thinking the Mets were done down 7-0 might be the dumbest thing anyone has ever said in the history of the spoken word.
I never had a doubt. Never a doubt in my mind.
Stop! Come on, stop it!
I could feel it. I could feel it.
Can we
percolating.
Please? Can we come? Can we get along? It's a great day. It's a great morning. The Rangers with a phenomenal victory last night. Igor was incredible yet again. The Mets with one of the and I'm not exaggerating, one of the greatest wins in the history of the franchise. And you're going to come after me? Stop it! I'm not doing it. I'm not falling for your reindeer games. I'm in a great mood.
Now, you should be in a great mood. All I'm saying to the people, so the people know, because this is the kind of show that we do. I mean, we're an honest show, is that you quit. You gave up on the Mets.
Yeah, that's correct. And you find me the person that didn't give up on the Mets. You don't come back from down 7-0. That doesn't happen. That never happens. So, yes, I gave up on the Mets. And it was perfect, because I have the Rangers win. I mean, it's as if God, who does not like me at all, last night was like, you know what, Dave? Here's a bone. Because you have the Rangers with this win, the game ends, and then I turn the Mets game off, right? So then I look on my phone and I see it's 7-3 and Mark Canis coming up. I'm like 7-3 first, you know, all right, I'll throw it on to watch the end. Put it on, infield hit from Canna, then Dom Smith strikes out twice, and now I got two outs, game five, you know it fine. Tying runs to the plate, so at least there's some reason to have a little bit of excitement. J.D. Davis with a huge hit. Now it's 7-5. Then you get Nimmo that comes up. Oh, I mean, monster hit. Now it's 7-7. And now you have Marte doubles him in. It's 8-7. And then I'm thinking to myself, please, Diaz, please, please. And like he's been, flawless, brilliant Edwin Diaz. Boom, boom, boom. One of the great wins in franchise history. Good morning to you.
First time coming back from 6-plus runs last innings is 1997. Yeah, listen, I mean, I'm just enjoying the moment now because I just watched it. But, I mean, Starling Marte, I mean, really he had a big game. I mean, that's his biggest game as a Met.
That's his calling card game.
Well, I mean, yeah, and going into the ninth, and he ends up with an infield single to get that thing started. I mean, that Mets had four hits the entire game, and he had two of them. He had the home run, and then he had the infield single. So, I mean, they really had nothing going on. And then all of a sudden, and if I'm a Phillies fan today, it's gross. Just disgusting loss.
But isn't that what we said? Defensively, they're not very good, and their bullpen stinks?
Yeah. Those are some of the concerns about the Phillies, because they have, I mean, you look at that lineup, you say offensively they should be able to win games. And that's a game they should absolutely 100 times.
You could have a bad bullpen. You could have the worst bullpen in baseball. You could have the worst bullpen in baseball history. You shouldn't blow a 7-0 lead ever.
No. No, especially the Mets weren't doing anything offensively the entire game. And I give their bullpen credit. I do, because Buck after the game was talking about, had the Phillies tacked on a couple more runs, he was finding, exit strategies for the guys just to make sure, let's get them off their feet, this game is over. But Shreve comes in and pitches really well. Medina comes in and pitches well and keeps it, keeps it right there where they still feel like they could have a chance because they don't want to quit on the game. And then that ninth inning happens. I really thought, though, Dom Smith, because that 2-2 pitch was...
Which should have been strike three. Which
definitely been... yeah, exactly. So now it's 3-2. I'm like, okay, he's going to make him pay here. He ends up striking out. But, JD Davis. Yeah, JD Davis, humongous pinch hit double. He smashed that ball. And then Nimmo with the big hit, and then Marte comes through again. But I'll tell you what, as good as the comeback was offensively, you mentioned it. Diaz, his confidence level right now.
Through the roof. Well, that's what had me really nervous, because like you can't, because again, down 7-0, the game is over, you're going to lose. But now you come back and take an 8-7 lead. Could you imagine how heartbroken you would have felt today if he went in there and gave up two runs in the bottom of the ninth?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be on the... It would be you, RJ, and Santi. I couldn't do it.
You would have tapped out?
I would have had to.
So you, what a treat. So you, what time did you wake up? So you watched the Rangers, you went to bed at what, 9:45-ish then?
Close to 10, yeah.
Okay, close to, geez. So you go to bed close to 10. And you woke up at what time?
2:15.
So alarm goes off 2:15. You're like, oh, God. But you, because you're a warrior, a trooper, a man of integrity, you pop out of bed, right?
And pop then out what, of bed,
you,
yep.
You go down to the gym, yes?
Correct.
Okay. And you start working out. Now, did you watch the Rangers again, or did you go right into the Mets?
No, I watched the third period of the Rangers again. Then I followed that up with the Mets.
So you pick the Mets game up. Let's walk through how this works. You pick the Mets game up where you left off. Do you just kind of fast forward? How are you watching? How are you consuming the Mets game from last night?
I'm consuming the Mets game. So I watched. So I had the Rangers game was what I was focused on. I had the Mets game on. So I went from where I stopped watching the Mets game. I record it and then picked it up this morning. And then I have the ability to fast forward through the commercials, which is nice.
All right, so you're fast-forwarding through the commercials. It's 7-0. It's 7-1. Fine, you get to the ninth inning. I mean, so you are, let's be fair, you're going through the motions. As a sports talk show host, as a fan of the team, it's 7-1, ninth inning. You're going through the motions is what you're doing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, I'll just, you know what, like, make this ninth inning quick. Let's go. Now I've seen it. I can talk about it. I can analyze it. Walker was bad. Lindor was not good in the field at all, and I'm done. At what point in the rewatch of the game, or for you, the first ever viewing, having no idea what was on the horizon, at what point were you like, this is interesting?
Oh, that's a good question. Because even after the Lindor home run, and he was up there, I mean, first pitch, fastball swinging, like he was
right,
for
but 7-3.
Yeah, he had been, I mean, he had been 0 for his last 18, I think. So he had been struggling offensively. I mean, you mentioned, the error, but I was like, okay, all right. We got something a little, I mean, things are starting to happen here a little bit. And then, Canna right up the middle off Knebel. And then as he's going to pick the ball up and throw it, he slips. I'm like, okay, all right.
So it was 7-4 first and second. And then you were like, you know what? I'm intrigued.
I'm intrigued. Well, I mean, that's there. They had what? I mean,
tying run to the plate, right? Tying run to the plate. Now all of a sudden you're being dragged in now.
I'm fully aroused at that point. But, I mean, at one point they had five. I mean, the ninth inning, they had five hits on 13 pitches.
Correct.
So I'm like, okay. And then now you're right. Now it's starting, blood's flowing a little bit. I'm like, okay, let's go. Come on, let's finish this thing off.
Yep, because anytime the tying run comes to the plate, you're one home run away from tying the game, right?
That's so it.
Now you're excited, yes. Dom Smith, that bat takes a lot away, and you figure that it's not going to happen. Even after J.D. Davis, and you had the tying run at second base. And by the way, I don't know if you feel like this. I think you do. I love Jankowski. I love that guy.
Well, how could you not?
Love that guy.
Well, because this is the thing, though, Dave. When you play on teams, those are the guys usually, the guys like him that you love. Like, the players love him because he knows his role and he excels at his role and doesn't say anything. Like, doesn't complain. Like, he knows, this is why I'm here, and whenever I get an opportunity, you're going to get everything I got. Guys, I'm telling you, players in that locker, I'm sure the players.
I don't know how you couldn't. I don't know as a fan how you couldn't. I don't know as a teammate how you couldn't. I mean, all he wants to do is contribute, right? He's not a big ego. He's not demanding time. But when you give me time, I'm going to go out there. And you know, we never mentioned, by the way. How about, no, you know what? No. Now I have my roast. Now I have just on live radio stumbled on my roast, and I think it is a sensational one.
Top of the morning.
A sensational one. I wish I could tell you now, because I know that you will agree with me, but I'm going to now save it till 6:45 this morning.
I like that. So we're going with the hour and 35 minute tease. I like that.
And when you, because I know you know of it, and when you, and we never mentioned it, and that's a bad job by us. When we do, you'll be like, that's a roast. That is a phenomenal roast. So yeah, long tease. But I mean, I can't believe we got that from the Mets last night. That doesn't happen. Like you mentioned. So I'm on ESPN Stats and Info on Twitter last night. Think about this for a second. The Mets in the last 25 seasons entering last night, when trailing by 6-plus runs. Did you see the stat? Entering the ninth inning, what their record was?
I didn't see what the record was. All I know is that's
the first time. What would you guess? What would you
get? It's not good. It's not good.
Well, of course it's not. Obviously it's not good. But how many times would you say they lost and how many times would you say they won heading into the ninth inning trailing by 6 or more runs?
Oh, I wouldn't even know where to start. I can tell you they probably have won, you say, in the last 25 years?
Yes. Last 25 years.
I would say they haven't won any games in the last 25 years.
So that's right. And how many losses would you say are on there?
I can't even imagine.
They were 0-330 trailing by 6 or more runs entering the ninth inning. 0-330. And I'll give you one bit more. All time in franchise history, trailing by 6 runs in the ninth inning or later, they were 3-863.
Yeah, so I mean that those numbers, and today you're the Nugget guy, and I love it. It just shows you like how improbable last night's win was.
There was like a 1 in 300 chance to win that game.
No, so if you're the Phillies, you should never lose a game like that.
Ever.
Yeah, that's a tough one to swallow, man. That's a tough loss for the Phillies.
A grotesque loss. But I don't attack this from the Phillies standpoint. I don't care. That is meaningless to me, what happens to Philadelphia. What's meaningful to me is what happens to the Mets. And they had, I mean, this is not hyperbole. That's one of the great wins in franchise history. It absolutely is.
Well, it's early.
I'm not saying it's game 6 of 86. I'm not saying it's, you know, beating the Cubs in the NLCS. I'm not saying it's at that level. The magnitude of the game is not that level. I'm talking about purely based on the odds that you can come back and win that game to getting that victory, one of the great wins in franchise history.
Well, I'll tell you this, though, and this is, now I'm not going to fully agree with you just because I say, I mean, it's just early on in the season, but it is, I mean, it's one of those wins that, you know, after the game, you have your manager who's pretty, I mean, he's pretty buttoned up. Like, I mean, we're still so early on in the season. I mean, they've played, you know, 28 games, like, of 162, but, I mean, you heard Buck after the game. Like, he insinuates, like, nights like this make you realize what it can be. Like, you know, we're sitting here as fans saying it feels different, and I think they're probably saying the same thing in the clubhouse. Right? Like, this feels like this has the potential to be a special kind of season because we play baseball the right way, we compete, and when you do those things consistently, good things usually happen. They do.
So they've played what? Not even a full month of baseball yet. And we'll hear from Buck in just a moment. You mentioned his comments after the game. They've played not even a full month of baseball. They had an incredible comeback victory over the Cardinals and the most improbable comeback victory maybe you've seen in the last decade last night. Twice. So they have two of these wins in the first month of the season. That's what winning ball clubs do.
And a no-hitter
with 17 guys. Here's Buck Showalter after the game last night. He was asked, what was it like in that dugout during that game?
I was involved in too many other things going on to start cheerleading, but I sure felt like it. I could have, but then me, I'd had some pom-poms out, I can tell you. But I can't. I can't. There's too many things going on with Lugo. If we tie, I'll go ahead for some reason, Diaz, and making sure we had the pinch runners ready and knowing how we were going to flip it around to do the defense in the ninth inning.
Oh, just absolutely wonderful. So, he's saying he's got to be completely dialed in where everyone else can just be losing their minds over what's happening. When did you think, Buck, that comeback?
That's the difference, though, right? That's the difference between having a guy like Buck Showalter, who's an experienced manager, and maybe someone that hasn't done it before. Because sometimes guys like that, you get caught up in the moment, and you're not paying attention to all the other little things. Like, okay, you know, I got J.D. Davis pinch hitting, I got Jankowski pinch running. Like, now how's this going to look? Because there's going to be, or it feels like at least we have to be ready, there'll be a bottom of the ninth. So I got to figure out
I have to be prepared for that. Here is Buck, if you don't interrupt me again. When did you think the comeback could in fact happen last night?
Probably Lindor. You know, that's a testament to guys like him. You know, he's had a little couple of tough things that don't fit him normally. And he doesn't wall around in self-pity and pull the dirt in around him. He just keeps grinding and gives himself a chance. That's why you're glad he's on your side.
Well, maybe he was Lindor.
I said Lindor, too. Look at me and Buck.
But I was not.
This is what great coaches do. They think alike.
By the way, we're going to break in a second, RJ, before you yell. And I think you'll defend me, even though I don't know. You came right after me this morning on the Zoom call. Didn't Rick already say it was their first win down six or more runs in the ninth? You just gave the same stat again. No, I gave that portion of it and added the 330 losses. Rick, not you, the guy that tweeted this to me. So pay attention.
No, I actually think you were the exclamation point. Like you expounded on my original nugget, which I thought was great. You hammered it home.
I'm like the turbo booster on your point.
You're like the dipping sauces, is what you were. I gave you the nugget.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Santiago, who I adore, and you know that to be true, and everybody does, he continues to annoy me with his Mets analysis, Rick. He again now during the break. You do realize if they don't go to the World Series, it's a disappointment.
It's not a disappointment if they don't go to the World Series. Stop yourself, please.
It's a ridiculous, ridiculous take.
This is a special team, Dave.
You're projecting. Stop. Don't project because the expectation for your Yankees is to get to a World Series. Don't project on us, all right?
Maybe you should raise your expectations. Maybe you should expect more.
Our pitching staff isn't even healthy right now.
Wait till they get healthy.
Who knows when that's going to be? Who knows if it happens?
See?
Dealing with the stress reaction right now.
I feel like you should be feeling good right now.
We.
Oh, my God.
See, I can't with this guy.
I can't take it.
I can't with this guy. I mean, what is going on with you today?
Listen, everything's coming up New York right now. It's great. This is
we're
thrilled.
You're acting like the stinky droid guy right now. Don't do that.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Don't be that guy.
When are you going to get an iPhone already?
We've been over this.
You're not.
How about an iPad?
It,
how about we just get you an iPad for work? I feel like in the iPad, like you're not giving in, but
who
it helps
cares?
You work wise. I think that would be nice.
How about instead of a fruit basket, you start the journey to him getting an iPad?
Well, now hold on. How does it go from you? You send RJ a gift basket with a small little tiny football and expired. Imported baked goods.
First of all, it wasn't a tiny football.
It was not a regulation football.
Okay, but that doesn't make it tiny. Secondly, it was a glorious fruit basket that happened to have one or two things that had narrowly expired.
Weeks. Okay? Weeks.
Narrowly expired. You know what? When they crossed the border, they were fully good. And then in that time, they happened to expire because they were imported.
Keyword, right. When they crossed the border.
When they crossed the border.
They were smuggled in by a mule.
No, they were Mexican treats. And when they came across the border, they were good. And in the packing and the shipping and everything, then they went past that point. But I'm not saying you should buy him all out the iPad. I said maybe the money that you're spending on the gift basket, on the fruit basket, should go towards an iPad as like a starter fund.
No, because now this is, you're doing what, again, and I tell people this that ask me about the show, is Dave is slowly turning into his mother. You just criticized your mother about that 2 days ago.
Criticized her about what? I'm confused here. What's happening?
Well, no, don't be confused. When she asks you, what can I get you? And you say, I don't really want anything. Well, how about I give you some cash? And then she gives you the cash, but then tells you what to spend it on. I'm not going to give Santiago, who seems adamant that he doesn't want to join the iPhone, iPad family, is that I'm going to give him the couple hundred bucks that I was going to give him for the fruit basket and say, hey, use this for your iPad.
You're the stinky droid guy. I think it's an opportunity missed.
Well, it's up to him, though. I'm going to leave it up to him. I'll give him the cash, and then he decides what he wants to do with it.
Ray, if he started you on a fund to get the iPad, would you appreciate that?
Listen, if he explicitly asked that that's what he wanted it to be put toward, I'd have a hard time saying no.
Is that something that's a turnoff for you, though? Do you not want an iPad, or is that something that you would be privy to enjoying?
I don't have anything against the iPad.
All right. But so there we go.
The iPad's not the worst thing in the world.
I think I've now facilitated a marriage.
Yeah, but this feels very arranged, this marriage, to me.
Mail order?
Some of these marriages can be arranged, and they can make it, though.
I actually think the percentages are higher. I think I read something like that.
That's unbelievable.
No, I'm not even joking. Because what happens, I guess, with the arranged marriages is you got to get
naked ladies.
Well, yeah, you'll eventually see that. But you got to get to know the person first. So you become friends because you don't know each other. It's arranged. You become friends first, and then the other stuff follows, as opposed to
What happens if you just don't like the person?
Well, then that's not going to work out.
Could you imagine? You pantless freak.
Yeah, but there's plenty of marriages that weren't arranged where that's the case.
If you just show up, you meet the person like, hey, how are you? I love the Giants. How about you? Oh, I hate the Giants. I'm a Cowboys fan. This can't work. I'm sorry.
It's never going to work.
Just get naked. There's no chance.
Maybe you
now.
Go with that. Let's get naked and see how this thing works. Maybe if this works out, if this is as good as you say it is, then I'll live with the fact that you root for the Cowboys.
No. Why did wear pants? Did I ever tell you this?
Oh, no.
No, it's not bad. When I met Sherry, you know what she rooted for?
I think you told me this before.
The Washington football team.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Well, I guess her stepbrother went to American University, and they used to go to a ton of Redskins games back in the day. And she liked Washington. And I said no. And then she agreed that she wouldn't root for Washington because her take was whoever cares more should get their way. And obviously I cared more, and she gave up on Washington, and now she roots for the Giants.
And I think that, in a nutshell, is why you have such a productive marriage.
I would agree.
Marriage is all about making sacrifices sometimes.
And I don't think it was a huge sacrifice for her.
Well, no, but she realizes that. Like, you're not going to, like, there are certain, fights that you pick that you want to win, and there's other ones that you just say, listen, if it means that much to you, I'll root for the Giants too then.
I played the victim because I am the victim. There you go. And jump forward 18 years Sunday, and it's our anniversary. So boom, it's all working out. Thank you. Thank you. It's all working out. Speaking of working out, I mean, we got to get to the calls. Calls. 1-800-919-3776.
Calls.
Yeah, let's spend a few minutes on the Rangers as well. And then we'll kind of have an all-encompassing call segment where we talk Mets, unbelievable comeback, and Rangers, phenomenal victory. Boy, I tell you what, good performance. Igor was, again, outstanding. They never cease to make me nervous, though. Like, they always find a way. They're rolling. It's 3-1. You feel great. Boom, Crosby goal. End of the second period, 3-2. And you have your heart in your throat for a while. But they find a way to score a couple goals in the third. And handily, by the end, walk away with a 5-2 victory last night.
Yeah, but you said it, though. And it's almost to the point now where I'm a little concerned is how good Shesterkin has had to be in the series.
Pittsburgh gets a lot of opportunities.
Well, it's that line, man. I mean, we talked about this going into game two. I mentioned it yesterday on the point. They have to do a better job with Crosby's line. And They're struggling to do that. Like, if you go back, so, and I know Santiago was funny. He's at the game. So the sarcastic cheer when the Rangers finally got a power play because there were six straight no power plays for Pittsburgh. And they made him pay, which is one of the big things, one of the big reasons why the Rangers have been so successful this year is, you know, they have a really good power play. And when you get in situations like this where, you know, things tighten up, you get those opportunities. You got to make them count, and that's exactly what they did. But all of a sudden, Pittsburgh makes it 3-2 at the end of the second period, and it's Crosby, of course, because why wouldn't we pay attention to where Crosby, like, why wouldn't four guys just stand around and just watch as opposed to, like, okay, it's Sidney Crosby. Let's make sure that of all the people on the ice that should be tied up, let's make sure he's tied up. He makes it 3-2, and then the Penguins push to start the third period. I understand why you were nervous, because they had the first nine shots, and
they hit the post too in there, didn't they?
Dude, yeah, but forget the post. It's the Malkin, and this was early, the Malkin backdoor play that Shesterkin gets fully spread out, makes that left pad save on, was humongous, and then followed up by, on the right side now, fully stretched out, was the backdoor play with Crosby. And he makes two humongous saves to keep it 3-2, and then Panarin in that line have a good shift, keep the puck in, and you have Panarin kind of, he spins off Letang, and then gets the, trying to hit Trouba coming to the front of the net, and Dumoulin makes the mistake of turning his skates towards the net, and not Dumoulin, excuse me, Matheson, and the puck goes in, and it makes it 4-2, and then Vetrano on Matheson again, with Domingue off his angle, you know, he ices the game, but.
That was some shot, by the way.
Well, good shot, bad. I mean, that's not good goaltending is what that is. I mean, that's he's off his angle. You can't let that in that moment. But this is the luxury you have right now with having, you know, Louis Domingue in net as opposed to Tristan Jarry.
I mean, you couldn't have a bigger advantage in goal right now.
No, and he actually played good. He gave him a chance. He made a couple really good saves.
Everything the Rangers scored up until the Panarin goal was all on deflections. He was playing well.
That's the playoffs, man. I mean, you're watching all these games. Like the Calgary-Dallas game last night was, I mean, it was just a defensive struggle, but it was another, you know, turnover, puck stays in, shot to the net, deflection, goal. So that's how you score when you know, teams kind of are really focused on good defensive hockey and you're going up against good goalies. Yeah, I mean, that power play, the Rangers' second power play was a really good power play, and you had Mika on the back door, had a wide-open net, and he kind of shot it back across the crease, and Domingue made a good save. But Domingue made a couple really big saves on that PP that kept it where it was, kept it a 3-1 game, and then Crosby gets that one, and Pittsburgh had all the momentum going into the third period.
I was like, you got to be kidding me. I don't know if it's like this with every team, but I never feel comfortable with the Rangers ever.
Well, because they don't
lock it down.
Well, no, they're not a great defensive team. They're not. There's a lot of puck, you know, puck watching. Panarin, I mean, as quickly as he gets you one, now he gives one back. I mean, that turnover in the neutral zone, that can't happen, especially with, I mean, to Crosby, that's a bad play. I think he's frustrated. I think Panarin, as good as he was last night, because he was good, he was better, he still frustrates the hell out of a lot of Rangers buddies of mine, because he turns down way too many shots.
He doesn't want to shoot it.
No, which is amazing to me, because just as long as you make yourself a threat, like especially early on, that's going to open up all the passing lanes that you want, because he's looking to facilitate the offense. But end of the day, that's a humongous win. I'll say, you know, the fact that Shesterkin's had to make 118 saves in two games is probably not the best thing for you, right? Like, I mean, it's another game,
it's,
you know, last night
on goal,
where they gave up 41 shots and like really good opportunities. So I'll be interested to see what happens. And all these lines are going to have to play against Crosby's line. But now going back to Pittsburgh, they have last change. So, you know, we already talked about how good a coach Mike Sullivan is. He'll have the opportunity now to pick and choose where he wants, you know, where he wants Crosby's line out and who he wants him out against.
Right now, you're a Rangers fan, or your analysis, just split, right? Get in there, get the split, come back 2-2 game five. That's the goal.
Well, yeah, listen, you're trying to win. Now, I don't know what the goalie situation is. I think I heard Casey DeSmith went for an MRI, so it clearly wasn't cramps.
Not good news for them.
No, that's not good news. Emily Kaplan, who was on the point with me yesterday, said that Tristan Jarry was out of the walking boot, which I guess is a good sign, but I don't know how available he is going to be for the series.
So you might get more Domingue.
You might get Domingue for the rest of the series. But here's the thing, right? Is you still have to, like, you have to tighten up defensively, especially going to Pittsburgh. You have to. You have to tighten
up. Can they?
Yeah, I think they can. When they're focused on it, they can. I'll tell you what, too, that kid line, I know I've been critical of Lafreniere just because I have high expectations for him, but, I mean, the kid is not shying away, man. He's finishing every check. They're quick to pucks. They're winning 50-50 battles like that. I was impressed last night.
Yeah, that line has played really, really well. Now, you mentioned earlier about the Crosby line. Here is Gerard Gallant discussing trying to defend that Sidney Crosby line.
Well, I still think he's a dangerous player a lot, but again, I talked about, you know, matching up. I mean, Mika's line plays against him quite a bit, but, you know, it's any who next guy's up, whoever's playing against that line, got to do a good job. And I think overall, you know, we contained them a little bit, but they're great players. Gensel and Crosby are good players. That line's a real top line, and they're tough to defend. So I think overall we did a decent job, but again, they're going to get their chances.
Did you do a decent job, or did Shesterkin, as typical, bail Shesterkin. You out when they got their chances?
Shesterkin did a great job.
Exactly.
I mean, you look at what Yarkin? This... So, through the two games, the Crosby-Gensel-Russ line, they have combined for five of the goals. They have six assists, and here's the big one. Through the two games, Gensel has 14 shots, Crosby has 13 shots, and Russ has 14 shots.
A dominant line.
That's a really good line.
That is a.
And you know what the problem is?
Line.
Here's the problem though too. Like you try to match up Mika's line against them, and that's great, but I mean you're also talking about how dependent the Rangers are on those top tier guys like the Panarins, the Zibanejads. So you're still asking those guys to go out and you know offensively be a difference maker. So to try to do that and at the same time slow down or shut down Crosby's line, that's a tall task.
It's a lot to ask for. Listen, and this is the last run for Pittsburgh, so they're going to, you know, they're a good team, talented team, but they're going to give you everything because they don't want it to end like this. They want to go out on a run.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're consistently in the playoffs, but they're having a hard time, you know, once they get to the playoffs. And they realize that. They're smart enough to realize that.
But they got, you know, some of their key pieces are unrestricted free agents, and this will be the last time this Penguins team ever looks like this. And they're playing like that. Like, they're playing like we desperately want to win the series.
Yeah, there's a sense of urgency, absolutely. And here's the other thing, though, too, which concerns me a little bit here moving forward, but I don't want to focus on it just because you got to get through the series. The fact that Gaudreau is week to week is not good.
Not good at all.
No.
And he's such a tough player.
Yeah, like, he's one of the pieces you added because of
his... He's built for the postseason.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why you brought him over from Tampa is because he's been there and he's done that. And, he's one of those guys that you ask, hey... You know, we're having a hard time with this Crosby line. Like, let's go shut this line down. That's exactly what he's going to do. And I think he hurt himself blocking that shot.
He did. And no Lindgren, too, is a
well, but
loss.
Lindgren's more he's more day-to-day game time decisions, which is promising.
But not having him is glaring.
It shakes things up because now you have and I think Braun should be playing, but now you move him up with Adam Fox. So you don't have Fox and Lindgren. It's different. And you want to have as much consistency as you can when you're in big spots like this.
Fox is one of the great offensive defensemen I've ever seen in my life.
He's great offensively. There are some things he could do better defensively.
Oh, I agree with that. But offensively, I mean, his vision, the Rangers have like two or three guys that have some of the greatest vision I've ever seen in watching hockey.
Well, that's what makes, like, when you get, and that's why their power play is so good. And that... Like, when you go back to where Panarin started, right, when he was with Patrick Kane in Chicago, you're talking about kind of the same thing. Like, that was, like, Patrick Kane's favorite player to play with was Panarin just because they saw the game the same way. Like, they're that talented. And the same thing can be said about how Fox sees the ice and how Panarin sees the ice. And when you have those guys quarterback in your power play, it makes a humongous difference. You mentioned Fox. I thought the Rangers did a really good job of keeping pucks in at the offensive blue line a couple different times. Like, that first goal is because Fox, I think it was the first goal, Fox does a good job of keeping that puck in front, in at the blue line. That puck looked like it was coming out, and Fox kept it in.
Was that when they tried to shoot around the boards, and he kept it in?
He kept it in, and then you find, and then Panarin with the, he's got so much patience. Like, most guys in that spot on the side of the net would just put their head down and shoot it, and he's... Holding it, and then he finds Kopp in front of the net for the goal.
And Kopp and Vetrano have been some really big additions to this team, huh?
Chris Drury did an awesome job.
He really did. I guess the question is, do they have enough defensively?
Well, that's the thing. Or are they willing to...
Get dirty?
Are they willing... Well, not get dirty. I mean, it's just, are they willing to commit to...
Play a more defensive style of game?
When they need to, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's part of it. I mean, that's what a lot of these teams struggle with. Like, that was one of the big questions about the Panthers. That was one of the questions about, you know, these teams that have, you know, high skill, you know, in playoff hockey, when you have to, you know, when you have to lock it down, are you capable of or willing to do it?
I mean, that's the question. So, Rangers, what, tomorrow night, a game you can hear right here, every game right here on 98.7 ESPN. Tomorrow night, 6:30 pregame, and then Monday night, 6:30 pregame. And then Wednesday, and then Friday, and then Sunday, if this thing goes all the way.
It feels like it could.
Oh, God. Game 7 on Sunday, May 15th. We're going to be at that game, right?
Oh, man.
You don't. It depends on the time?
When is that game?
There's no way you can put it in at night. It's going to be a 3 o'clock game. It's going to be a nationally televised 3
o'clock Sunday,
game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The way this series has been going?
Right.
A little spicy at the end?
I guess the question is, what do you have on Sunday afternoon, May 15th?
Sundays are usually lacrosse, but I think, I mean, it depends. I think I should be fine. It's usually in the morning.
So lacrosse in the morning, and then we go to the game in the afternoon. RJ, you in?
Fully in.
Wow.
Well, that's aggressive. Not even dabbling. He's just all the way in.
See, but yeah, until someone elopes.
No, there will be no eloping, but here's the thing that you have to be torn, Dave, specifically, because you can't be rooting for a game 7, but you have to be rooting for the show outing.
No, that's an erroneous thing that you said, because we're going to go, if the Rangers win the series in less than 7, now we have a full extra round, at least, that we can have the show outing to the game.
But now
I want the Rangers to win in 5, and then in the next round we all go.
But then we could be looking at a weekday outing, and especially if they lose, you could go missing. I mean, we'll have to watch you.
You'll have to watch me.
Well, pretty much what Dave is telling you is he's confident that they're going to win this series, is what he's saying.
Yeah, I don't blame him for that.
I'll tell you what I'm saying. I'm confident that if they lose this series, they don't lose it in less than 7.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's... here's the thing, though, and I think RJ's trying to make this point. I don't know if we want to be around you if they lose a game 7.
Just keep hot drinks away from him.
Yeah, like, I don't know if we could deal with that.
What do you mean hot drinks? What does that mean? Like, I would scald someone?
You tried to fight Mike Lupica.
Well, he was getting in my face.
Well, I don't know if he was getting in your face.
And if you had a fresh hot coffee, you might have thrown it at him.
but what do you keep hot drinks away from him? I'm not the guy that's known as throwing hot drinks in someone's face.
No, you're just the guy who's known for throwing treadmills at windows and stuff
that. No, I pushed it. I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window. I didn't realize my strength.
He doesn't even run on the treadmill. He can't lift it. Stop it. I asked the guy to get on the treadmill for 1 second to do a video, and he wouldn't even do it.
It takes real concentrated effort to even push the thing out a window.
That there's intent.
You wouldn't. I'm like the Hulk. When I get angry, I mean, I turn green. All bets are off.
Sherry comes home. Your shirt's ripped off.
She's like, "What do you want for dinner?"
Jean shorts on.
Yes, my hair is mangled all over the place. She's like, "Dude, I can't put my finger on it. Do you have jaundice? Is something going on there with that look?"
Got a greenish tint to you. What is
Dave,
going on?
Angry. By the way, we're sweeping our way right through again.
Well, that goes without saying. Now, I'd like to do it at the 6 o'clock hour too.
Let's do it.
Oh, here too. You'll like this.
So
you know, like the point when we do the show at the end of the show, like when Bucci does it, we'll have like the chicken parm. So yesterday afternoon, so Emily Kaplan's been on the road covering all these games, and she's a bagel snob, she says. I was like, you want to see, I work with a bagel snob. So the food that came out was bagels, and I said to everyone on set, I was like,
Connecticut bagels, though?
Yeah, I said, why don't you just call me? I'm like, I could have brought Long Island bagels up.
Yeah.
But they were still, I mean, there was good bagel, and I asked everybody, for the show, I said, you guys like, I mean, are you Dan Orlovsky and you don't like cream cheese? And they're like, what? I said, yeah, Dan Orlovsky said cream cheese is garbage. And they're like, that's the worst take we've ever heard in our lives.
It's awful. It's an embarrassing.
They were disgusted, though. You should have seen the look on their faces. They couldn't believe it. They're like, he said that? I was like, oh, yeah, he said it.
Well, rightfully so. Which is worse than even RJ saying he doesn't appreciate rye bread.
I can understand that, but that's also a
very bad take.
Well, I don't think he knows how to utilize the rye bread. So
I just said it's not my favorite. I'll eat it. I'm just saying it's not my favorite.
Yeah, but you eat it like, but don't care for it.
It's fine.
No, how about the pumpernickel? You don't like the pumpernickel then either.
Pumpernickel's fine. I don't even have
problems. They're fine. So you are give me a turkey sandwich on white bread and cut off the crust. That's who you are, right?
No, he's a wheat guy. I guarantee he's a wheat guy.
Wheat, multi-grain, anything 12 grain.
Something with nuts.
How do you get up?
What are you laughing about? It's a nice little.
Yeah, I agree.
How do you get up from that?
Artisanal loaf.
Yeah, it is. Good news.
No, if you get a nice, the rye bread. I mean, there's certain ways to utilize it. Yeah, it's delicious.
I think you're defending it too strongly. If anything,
no, even like a simple ham and Swiss on rye.
So that's your favorite. That's what you're building your sandwich around.
Because I get hungry, so I would build my sandwich around a larger piece of bread, like a hoagie, maybe.
With some peanut butter.
Say a larger piece of meat.
What is the matter with you today? Really?
A nice Reuben? How about a nice Reuben? A Reuben is delicious.
Oh, Reuben.
Oh, Reuben.
Oh, Reuben.
For the scuba.
Oh, you like the scuba, Reuben?
Oh, Reuben. I used to root for the Mets and the Yankees, Reuben.
I don't want to give up the meat. What a fraud he is, huh?
Until when I was 36, Roger Clemens threw the bat at Piazza.
Yeah, I was torn. Well, were you 9, 10, 36?
I was a young fan. How old? 36.
36. But I'll tell you what, I could never decide, and when Clemens threw the bat, that was it.
That was the moment.
I never rooted for the Yankees from that moment on. You, sir, are a fraud, is what you are. All right, let's get to some of the calls. 1-800-919-3776. The great Kenny in Jersey. Kenny, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. Hey, Dave, remember me and you had the argument about when we should be all in on the Mets?
Oh, I'm
all in. Let's ask Rick that question. When does Rick think we should be all in on the Mets if they're in first place? How long down the line?
I think I can speak for Dave. I think we're already all in.
All in. We are all in. Both feet, all in.
Yeah, I can't do that with y'all, man. I can't get there with y'all.
Why?
Maybe not August, but I can't get there right now because it's the Mets. I'm enjoying them playing, and I'm enjoying all this winning that they're doing. It's wonderful. But I just can't jump both feet in right now.
What is it going to take for you, Dave? What is it going to take for you to jump both feet all in?
I don't know, man. I don't want to say because it's just going to have to be one of those things, Dave, where it's though, all right, I'm in. Because right now I'm still scorned, and I'm still afraid that something's going to happen and the Mets are going to start playing bad ball. And I have every reason to believe that.
No, you don't.
Because of their history.
No.
Yeah, but don't use their history. Don't use their history to make your decision. I think having Buck as your manager makes a big difference. I think you're seeing that too, though. They consistently play good baseball. Like their approach to the plate, hitting away from the shift. Like there's a bunch of different things. Like the fact that McNeil all of a sudden is back to being Jeff McNeil. There's something to be said about that when you know, like as a player, when you know going into these games that your manager has, you know, everything under control. He has, you know, there's nothing that he's going to be, that's going to catch him off guard. He's ready for anything.
I mean, can we stop it already? It's time. And look at this division. And I know it's early, and I get that. But I'm not even worried about Miami, and that's the next closest team to you. Atlanta is 6.5. Philly is 7. Those are big numbers early
on. Yeah, I know,
but
Atlanta still makes me nervous.
As they should. And I'm not saying if you played them in the postseason, they can't go toe-to-toe or even beat you. What I'm saying is, to be sitting here on May 6th, and to be 7 games up on Philly and 6.5 up on Atlanta, those are big numbers.
Yeah, they're big numbers. But listen, I'm all in. You're all in. I enjoy the season more when I just fully embrace it. But I can understand why there's some trepidation. I mean, you saw what happened last year.
Yeah, but that was last year. That was a different team.
Listen, and I agree with you. That's why I'm head first in with this team.
And they were also so reliant on DeGrom, and you lost DeGrom, and the manager I don't think was nearly as capable as this manager, and the team wasn't nearly as good, and there wasn't the same kind of depth, and you didn't have these guys. You didn't have Marte. You had McNeil was awful. So there's a big difference from last year to this season.
I don't disagree with you. But you're right. I mean, then you lose DeGrom and the wheels fall off and everything else. But, I mean,
you didn't have Scherzer.
No.
Diaz wasn't really good. I mean, there's so many things that are better and different from last year to this year.
Correct. But, I mean, I could understand someone calling in and just being hurt so many times that they're like, okay, this is great. I'm going to enjoy it, but give me a couple months before I fully
But then, you, but he, fully we'll invest get to calls in a second. But then you're giving up a great run. Like it, so now you're just, every time they win, you're like, well, that's a great win. But, no, just enjoy it. Just let yourself love again.
Yeah, you got to put yourself out there.
Just
because you get hurt
doesn't mean this isn't the one.
If you get hurt, you get hurt. But, I mean, enjoy the ride.
Yep. Jay and Edison. Good morning, Jay. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking the call this morning.
You're very welcome, Jay. What do you got?
Yeah. So, in the first inning, Tijuana Walker was looking horrible.
Tijuana?
I swear. Yeah. Walker was looking bad. He was looking bad for me. And I couldn't stay up to watch the game. I was just so hurt at the fact that the pitching was just all over the place. I dubbed out. And I said, you know what? I'm just dozing off a little bit. My wife wakes me up. I said, baby, they're coming back. And I'm like, they're coming back. And now I wake up. We win the game. I was so amazed by this. I'm like, this is the Mets that I've been waiting for here.
So you're all in, aren't you, Jay? You're all in.
I'm all in.
Yep.
I'm all in because – at the end of the day, I wasn't a fan of Buck. I'm not saying I wasn't a fan. I didn't know too much about him to understand that this guy managed winning here. I was just so amazed. It's so exciting. I woke up this morning like, I have to call in. And I'm glad that I got through this morning because I was just so pumped up and so excited about this win. This win brings excitement to leading into the summertime. This win brings
a phenomenal win, Jay. And thanks for the call. Now, here's I think the lead. He's married to a great woman. She's keeping an eye on the game, and when the Mets start to come back, she wakes him up to say, "Check this out." That is a great woman.
She understands how much he loves the Mets and what kind of mood a comeback. He doesn't want to miss that.
That's a once in a generation kind of comeback.
You gave the
really?
Nuggets. I mean that's it. It doesn't happen.
0-330 the last 25 years in that situation.
Yeah, last time was 97. So, yeah, I mean, this is – and, again, it's one of those wins, too, and you heard Buck after the game, that makes you in that clubhouse start to think, okay, I mean, this is – it feels like, you know, something special could be happening right now.
And then you follow that up with Max Scherzer on the mound tonight?
Oh, that makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Right? How good does that make you feel? And you have a rested Lugo. Right? And Drew Smith has now had a couple days off. So you're set up to win this game if they play the game tonight. Weather might be a big impediment in the Mets and the Yankees this weekend.
But that was the other thing, though, was how important it was for Shreve to come in and Medina to come in and just lock it down. Because, I mean, there was a chance that if they score a couple more runs, the Phillies score a couple more runs, that the Mets aren't going to have the opportunity to do what they did in the ninth.
Because as bad as their bullpen is, I don't think you're coming back from 9 or 10 nothing. I wouldn't.
No, but I don't think. I don't know how long. Like, Buck made it sound like he already had a plan as to how he was going to get guys out if Philly had scored a couple more runs to get them off their feet.
Yeah, you probably had, like, Brandon Nimmo come into the game.
Well, yeah, but, again, I mean, this is – guys come in, they do their job, and now it gives you the opportunity in the ninth to now do what they did.
It's an amazing comeback. JoJo and Nutley. JoJo, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I'm excited, man. I really think that the way the Rangers are playing, I agree with all your points you guys made, just the energy, the way they kept everything going in the zone. Two big factors that I don't know if anyone's really seeing. I know you guys are. Keandre Miller looks unreal. He's taking guys one-on-one, just taking them out of the game. Even Reeves just putting hits on guys when you need to, just to show his presence. Just looks like everybody skating faster. Just very exciting. The garden just sounds rocking. It's just crazy. Big shout out to the company, and I'm excited for the next game. Thank you, guys.
That's a nice call. Miller's played really well. You mentioned the kid line has played well. Reeves has been a tremendous factor in the series.
Oh, yeah. The hit he had on Malkin yesterday was great. That's what you have to do with skilled players like that.
You would not want to mess with him. My God, he's terrifying.
No, you wouldn't want to fight him.
You would not want to fight him. How dirty was that hit on Shesterkin last night?
It wasn't.
It was not dirty at all?
It was not dirty. No, actually, I mean, if you watch it, and I watched it a couple different times, I mean, you can see Shesterkin kick out his left leg. Like, he pushes out his left leg, and then once Carter makes contact, that's when he sells it. Good acting job.
You don't think he was ever hurt, do you?
No.
So he was just playing that up?
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? Yeah. Embellish a little bit.
Hockey's fun.
Yeah, hockey is fun. Here is Gerard.
Play the way he plays.
What was your reaction when Igor went down last night?
I wasn't too happy, obviously, in a game like that. I mean, there was no reason for it, and you know, so I was disappointed them going after him a little bit like that. And Carter's a good, honest player, you know, but it just didn't look good to me.
Didn't look good.
No, it didn't look good. And that's, I mean, it's things like that that start. I mean, that cause problems because, God forbid, I mean, if Igor does get hurt, you have
it's over.
It's night-night. So, I mean, he's your most important player. And you want to protect him at all costs.
At all costs. All right, so it's a two-pronged attack today, and then we'll do, of course, a little morning roast at 6:45. It's the Rangers, and it's the Mets. It's a great win for the Rangers. It's an unbelievable, epic comeback for the Mets. So both of those topics on the table today. And you can listen to the show wherever you go, anywhere in the world, because of the new ESPN New York app. Take us everywhere on the new ESPN New York app. Get all your favorite 98.7 ESPN radio shows and play-by-play streaming live. It's on the all-new ESPN New York app, available right now on the App Store and on Google Play as well.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.